554. On your mark, get ready. Okay, let's begin. Let us begin. Okay, yesterday we did the pasuk Shmei Tefil Adechal Boso Yavoi. We learned many beautiful perushim, and now I think we have done a sufficient analysis of this pasuk. Okay, there is a chomus anach that I wanted to mention. Let me just over here. Alright, let's go further for now. Let's go to the next pasuk. Maybe we'll come back. Let's go to the next pasuk. We say slichas. This pasuk appears by slichas multiple times. You say shomea tefila adecha kol basar yavahu. Page 554. And by the way, one thing I forgot to mention is very, very important. This pasuk base. This came to my attention because actually it's like a hashkach, a pratis story. But however it is, but. Stop the talking during davening, right? There's a big campaign today of stop the talking during davening. And to a degree, that's what it says in Pasuk Beis. L'cha to you Hashem, do liya sihila. To know when not to talk. There's a time, this is a whole different idea. We learn many different perushim. To you Hashem, waiting. The greatest praise, that's a very, very pleasurable interpretation. Dumia, we learned, doesn't only mean silence, it also means to wait. Doim la Hashem. Wait, be patient and wait. The fact that we are all, Klal Yisrael is in a continuous state of yearning and waiting patiently for the Gula, that itself is a very high level of Shevach. Then we learned that the word dumi comes from the notion of dimyoin, that the only one to whom we can equate praise is to Hashem, because by a human being, anything nice you say about a person, there's always a little bit of an exaggeration or an outright lie. Praise to a human being is not true. It's not accurate. So you cannot be doime, dimyoin. You cannot associate praise with a human being, because that's the nature of the beast. Human being, when we praise people, it's usually flattery. Dafyomi, learned that Dafyomi the last 2 days, flattery. 6 Mamori Chazal on the sin of Hanifa. Hanifa, whenever Tehillah is not accurate, then that Tehillah turns into Hanifa. So only to Hashem is praise correct, because only Abba HaKadosh Baruch Hu is anything that you say about Hashem, it may fall short of the MS, because Hashem is infinitely more, but at least the small amount that you said is true. You know, there's an infinite more that you should have said, you could say, if even possible, but at least what you did say is true. So the simple interpretation we learned until now, the simple interpretation is that Dumiya, less is more. Like we said, the expression, don't kill someone with faint praise. Faint praise, I remember this is a very famous story, but it's not a perfect example, but there was during the war, when the Gedolei Yisrael were trying to raise money for the Vahar Hatzalah to save Jews, to bribe the Germans, and to raise money to save Jews, so they went from shul to shul, and they made announcements and speeches. And in one shul, the one of the Gedolei Yisrael, maybe it could have been Rav Aaron Kotler, I don't know who it was, I may be making a mistake, he gave a passionate speech in the shul, and the rabbi saw that people are giving. And he was afraid that the next week is the shul dinner. And if people are going to give a lot of money for this cause, they're not going to give money. Okay, it could be, I'm not sure who it was. And the rabbi was very disappointed. I don't think you have to be melamed chus on the rabbi not to appreciate if he really understood the chomer hadavar. People are dying. And then in order to diffuse, so he says, the rabbi over here spoke so passionately, and please, everyone, give a donation pledge. Every penny counts. Okay? That was a churban. because people had hasagos of giving, not pennies, dollars, giving, you know, big money. And when you go and you say to this, every penny counts, he's coming to burst the bubble. Oh, you don't have to go give $100, $1,000. You give 30 cents, or give a quarter. Every penny counts. Now it's true. You can't say it's not correct. It's totally true. Every penny counts. But we all appreciate when you say something like that, you have destroyed the momentum. You've destroyed the drive, the expectation, the willingness of what people are willing to give. So that's exactly what you give. You praise someone with faint praise. You totally take down the grandeur of what the object, what we're really discussing. So Baruch Hu, because Baruch Hu is infinite. Whatever you're going to say, it's going to be shvach. Whatever person is going to say Baruch Hu, you're showing very low hasogos of how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. That's why by an appeal. If you ever do an appeal in a shul, you have to do your homework. Because you can ruin the appeal in literally 1 second. You have an appeal, and there are people in the shul that are willing to give thousands of dollars. And Mr. So-and-so in the back over here is giving $18. You're finished. The whole appeal is over. Or you make a passion appeal, you have a guest speaker, and you present the cause. So normally, how do you do things? You do your homework in advance, you already have pledges, and you go say the big pledges. Mr. So-and-so is giving $20,000. This one is giving $10,000. This one is giving $18,000. And the people in the shul, they begin to shake. Oh my, he's giving $20,000. All right, I'll give $1,000. But if the person who conducts the appeal, the first one he says, and Mr. So-and-so is giving $18. So the other guy is giving, I'll give 36. I'll give 36. You just lost $1,000. And every single appeal, there's an incredible psychology in how you do an appeal. You do your homework. I saw this many times. If you don't be just shemazeldik and you try to raise money and you don't care about how much the people you're raising the money for, it's terrible. It's mamish terrible because people are willing to give. And if you just, and if you go and you start off with low numbers, very low numbers, people, you know, that's the whole idea of they say this about Chaim Berlin. Chaim Berlin used to make, now everyone does it, but everyone already stopped doing it because we live in a very different world. But go back 50 years ago, so what did you? This is what they told me. I don't know if it's true or not, but this they tell me is that 50 years ago, you make it every yeshiva. How do you do a fundraiser? A malava malka. You come to shul mitzvah shav. We have malava malka. We have the leftover gefilte fish from shalosh shulos, and we'll buy some bagels erev Shabbos. By the time it's mitzvah Shabbos, they're already stale. And you know, you put out some. You know, it's not enough time mitzvah Shabbos to properly clean the shul. You put out some plastic tablecloths, and everyone comes to shul. How much are you going to give a donation? $18. So supposedly Chaim Berlin, they rented the most expensive the plaza, you know, the most expensive exclusive hotels they can find in New York. And you go and you serve each course, each serving, whatever, for each person, it costs an enormous amount of money. So you invite a very wealthy person to come to the dinner, and you serve him food and entertainment worth at least $100, $200. So the person, if he's a mensch, he says, I know what this costs. I know. And they serve me their food. You know, I had a good steak, good, expensive, and they provide a little good. They had some entertainment, some comedian. Those days, the entertainment wasn't so kosher. And they had some whatever they had. And he says, if they gave me service worth $200, it's only fitting I should give them $1,000. And it worked. It worked. You give a lot. If you give big money, if you give big money, people will give back. If you give someone big money, that's how you know, that's his technique. This doesn't work anymore. This does. I told you this is 50 years ago when it was a novelty. It was a novelty. Today you're bombarded literally every 5 minutes with another cause. We're talking over here 50 years ago. 50 years ago, it was a novelty to go and make a dinner like this. When everyone is making a shalosh shulos mitzvah Shabbos, to go make a fancy dinner in a hotel and serve very expensive food, it was a novelty, but it worked. it worked because the same person would give you 80, wouldn't even come, give you nothing. Now you invite them to a fancy in the Pierre. Oh, you come there all dressed up and they give you good food and good entertainment. So you give them to a holy cause. People want to give. They have money to give. They want to give to a worthy cause. They'll give. They raised incredible amounts of money this way. All the other yeshivas began to copy this model and everyone went bankrupt. Everyone went bankrupt. And today it's a real, it's a different, it's a totally different world.
The Beis Yaakov on the Lower East Side in the 50s had Gina Lowell Bridget entertainment. That I mean, that's, get it. I mean,
over the top?
People were like wiped out.
Okay.
You couldn't believe it.
Okay, also those days you should know, the dinners were not for the Rabbanim, not for B'nai Torah. The dinners, those days, the fundraisers, in those days, the fundraisers were for people that weren't even religious. A Rosh Hashiva wouldn't be caught dead at a yeshiva fundraiser. The yeshiva fundraisers, many of them had mixed dancing.
Yeah.
They had mixed dancing, they had dirty entertainment. And a Ben Torah, a student, a Rosh Hashiva wouldn't be caught dead. The fundraising was ha'iluchot v'ha'iluchot. Today, the way the yeshiva dinner today is viewed as a su'udas mitzvah, and they mamish demand that if you're a member of the yeshiva, you're a member of the kollel, you come, whether you like it or not. We need bodies. We need bodies to fill up the seats to show that we have over here something going on. Today, you cannot compare. It's a completely different culture, different society. But the point over here is, there's a lot of, Rabbi Sai. The point is, l'cha dunia sihila. If you're gonna make something, you're gonna play it down. If you're gonna do something cheap, you'll make a malava malka for a very chashuv organization as a fundraiser. That's an insult. It deserves a lot better. And if you can't do it, so do nothing. Some more often than not, if you can't do it right, don't do it. I remember when I was in eighth grade, we had the yearbook. The yearbooks. So we were little kids. And we wanted to dedicate the yearbook in eighth grade to someone to Rav Moshe Feinstein. I think Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky passed away. And so we told the principal, you know, we're doing the yearbook, it's our yearbook, we want to dedicate it. So he basically said, he said to us, you know, a couple of years ago, I don't know, it was before my time, Rav Chutner died. And the boys had an idea, they wanted to dedicate it to Rav Chutner. He says, and they did. Do you know how much effort and work we spent on, the boys, they're not capable of writing something eloquent, something proper as a dedication. And all the parents are going to see this. These kids going to write? Yeah, there are some people that have talent. So we, the principal and the Rebbe, we had to sweat and we had to break our heads and to properly write the dedication in honor of Rav Chutner. And it was a very big project for the Rebbeim and for the Hanhala, because the kids wanted to do it. And they, you know, there's a limit to what they can do, what their talents are. And we had to embellish it, and boy, did we have to work on this. And every word was measured; everything had to be just perfect. You want to now dedicate this to Rav Moshe and Rav Yaakov, and it's 2 days before publication. No way. Ulecha dumia sehila. What, you're going to scribble something, some nonsense, and you're going to put it? And there's only 2 days left until you have to go to print. Too little, too late. You wanted to do this, you should have said to do this 2 months ago to give us some time to do it properly. Now to scribble some nonsense on a piece of paper, it would come out as an insult. So the best thing is l'cha dumia sihila. Next, now I'm telling you the fourth pshat that it doesn't say anywhere on this page. And that is silence. Derek, like basically this campaign, I like to make fun of it. But they you go on the trains, you get so not so dangerous. Now to go on the trains, they have all these horror stories about the trains. But if you go on the trains to go on all the time, and please stand clear of the closing doors. Right? That deep voice, please stand clear. It's like, stop the talking during davening. It became like this. Not a cliche. Stop the talking during davening. It doesn't work. I'm not going into my pet peeve on this. But over here, the pasuk says this idea, which I want to suggest really refers to, if you really appreciate something, you don't talk. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, Shmona Esher, what do we do during Shmona Esher? Shmona Esher, I don't know, they have videos of all the Rabbanim telling you, in these little clips of the Rabbanim telling you, stop talking during davening. I never heard anyone say this part, okay? They would ask, no one's going to ever ask me. But if you, when you daven Shmona Esrei, what do you daven? First, you daven the Brachas HaShachar. Psukei de Zimra. Shevach v'hoido to Hashem. Shevach v'hoido. Okay, 13 sections of Psukei de Zimra. Unbelievable. To praise Hashem. Then there's Brachas Kriya Shema. And then you oinei lefnei HaMelech. And then you wind down. Tachnun, part of the Koyach HaTfilah. Asher v'letzion, Kedush l'sidra, Aleinu, the Yoim. What part of davening, if you would challenge someone, is the part where you give praise to Hashem? Where during the davening do you give Hashem the highest praise? Is it the first three bracha, moedim anachnu lach in the Shemoneh Esrei? Is it moedim derabanan? Is it psugi de zimra? Is it Aleinu? Is it the Yom? Where? Show me in the Nusach HaTfilah starting from Moda Ani Lifanecha. Maybe it's Moda Ani. Maybe it's Adon Olam Yigdal. Stop a person on the street and ask him, tell me, you daven Shachar today. You said Moda Ani. You went through the whole thing, the whole Siddur. You came. What part of davening would you say resonates with you where you feel you've praised Hashem? There are many elements. Davening is full of different dimensions.
What if you say while you're walking out?
Okay, let's not turn this into a comedy show here. Okay, but what part of davening?
You were going to?
What part of davening would you say, oh, it resonates some Aleinu? Alkei nikavulcha.
What I would say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kivodo. Every person will say something different, what resonates with him, where he feels, ah, here is where I'm praising Hashem. David HaMelech, you know, he was a master at this. And now, this is a derush. This is not pshat. So don't shoot me.
Don't shoot
me. Lecha, you know where I gave Hashem praise?
Bechazor,
exactly. I had a nesoyon. My friend was there. I had a really good joke, a sharp line. It would have been 3 seconds. I had this incredible passion just to say quietly to him, wouldn't disturb anyone. I held back out of respect. L'cha, to you Hashem, du miya, silence. This was the ultimate praise I gave you Hashem during that. Not kodosh, kodosh, kodosh. Not Aleinu, not yishtabach shimcha lo'ad malkeinu, not baruch she'omar, not ashrei. When I was able to control myself and be silent, l'cha to you Hashem, dumiya, silence, this was the greatest praise I gave you today. I was able to be machshiv, the chashivus of tefillah, and not talk. I'm not allowed to, it's osser. Stop the talking during davening. This is the greatest praise. L'cha dumiya sehila. Okay, so that's the fourth mahalach. Four mahalachim in L'cha Dumiya Sihila. Now we're going to go further. Pasuk Dalet. Divrei avonos gavru meni. Pesho'enu atos sichapre. Now David over here is shifting gears. And David over here is talking about, this is really L'cha, why it's part of Slichas. Here, Rav Kalman, you see over here the segue. Shamea tefila. Adecha kol basar. Rav Kalman is al-shtrich tzibar. A bal musaf, decades of Kalman, and he mentioned over here that Shomea Tefillah, this pasuk begins Slichos. It's the beginning of Slichos. We say this pasuk every day during Slichos, and towards the beginning, it opens up Slichos. And the next words of what do you do? Confession. The first part of prayer is a very, very wide topic. There are many dimensions in prayer. But obviously, the first major element of prayer, before you can go and you can ask Hashem, make a request, or you can even praise Hashem. You have to be an innocent man. They don't come, they don't bring in felons to go and to praise the king. Okay, you have to first be pure. There has to be confession. Divrei avonos gavru meni. The words are divrei of avonos, are of sin. Avonos are sins that has prevailed. Gavru is a word which means it's too much. It's above and beyond me. It's out of control. I'm overwhelmed. I am overwhelmed. The words of sin have overwhelmed many, me. Pesha'enu, our pesha. Pesha ordinarily means willful sins. Ovoin, chet, ovoin, and pesha. There are three different types of sins in rabbinic literature. Three types of sins. Ovoin, normally it's chotosi, ovisi, poshati. A chet is inadvertent. B'shoigeg. Then there is a VC is bemazed. But why? Because, you know, I'm hungry. I'm hungry, and it happens to be there's a McDonald's around the corner. So I don't care. I don't care. It says in the Torah, you're not allowed to do this. I'm hungry. I knew what I was doing.
I don't care, but I'm hungry.
I knew, but I didn't do it in spite. Right. I did it because I'm hungry. I knew I'm not allowed to. Sorry, Hashem, I can't help you today. I'm hungry. I come first. Then there's pesha. Chotosi ovisi poshat, it's lahachis. I'm not even hungry. I don't even like it. It's not healthy. But lahachis. I want to show. I want to show that I'm a rebel. I have a pleasure in rebelling. That's called the pesha. That's the serious stuff. A pesha, and by the way, that interpretation, some switch it around. Some turn around and some say that pesha is bemezid and ovoin is out of rebellion. But Pashem Shad is Chotosi, Ovisi, Pashat, there's a progression. Chet is B'shoigeg, an Ovoin is B'mezit, and a Pesha is Merida, a rebellion. Here we have two. Divrei Avoinois, Gavru, many. First we talk about the Ovoin, which is B'mezit, and then we say Pesha'enu, our rebellion. Ata Meyu Hashem T'Sechaprem, atone for them, and that we now acknowledge that we have rebelled against you. We are sorry. We are doing teshuva. We come before you. Let's read another pasuk. Ashrei praiseworthy tivchar usikarev yishkoin. Fortunate someone tivchar who chooses usikarev yishkoin and comes near to come. I already forgot this. What it means exactly. We'll see in the mitzvahs in a second. Let's read the words first in a moment. Who's drawn close to you, Yishkoin Chatzei Recha, who dwells in your Chotzer, Nis Be'o.
It sounds a little funny in Pashto.
Okay, we're going to read. We're going to see the Farshim.
He's saying different Yavon is God.
Okay, we're going to read.
Overwhelmed by the Yishkoin.
Okay. We're going to come. Obviously, we have to read the Farshim. Okay, Yishkoin Chatzei Recha. Fortune is the person that comes near, chooses and comes near to dwell in your courtyard. And one with Ashrei, worthy of praise is the man who decides to come near and dwell in your courtyard, Hashem, to be part of your camp, to come to the Beis Medrash, to come to the Beis HaKnesses. Fortunate is such a person who makes that decision to come near, to draw near and dwell in your courtyard. Nis be'o b'tuv be'sechem. It's a blessing. May that person be sated, satisfied, satiated with the goodness of your bayis. Kiddush, yeah, your home, your beisecha, your home, Hashem, your home. Ashra yoshve beisecha, od yahaluluchas sela. There's the chotzer, bituv beisecha, and then kiddush heicholecha, the holiness of your sanctuary. And just notice for the moment, there are three different locations. Location, why do you say location, location, location? Three times, right? Isn't that a location, location, location? Because in this pasuk there are three locations. There is the courtyard, there is the bayis, and there is the heichal. Okay, there are three different dimensions of mokoin. The courtyard, if you want to be Beis HaMikdash, there is the har habayis is the courtyard. Then there is the bayis, that's the entire azora, and then the heichal is the kodesh and the kodesh hakodashim. Everything is this location, location, location. There are different elements. Okay, two psukim. What?
It is another bias.
this Kaddish Veshmenu Roma Ila Beis Kute.
In Shemayim, in Shemayim.
Everything comes from there.
Okay, there are many interpretations. Let's see now. Let's say, look at these. Let's decipher these two psukim, starting with Pasuk Dalet in the Mitzudos David. Mitzudos David on page 554, towards the bottom. Okay, Pasuk Dalet, Gavru many, my sins, our sins, the divrei, the words of. We have to decipher the word divrei. Why divrei? We'll see that in a moment. But for the Mitzvah of it says, Avoinois Govru have prevailed many over me. Return to Lemar. Im ki ein be has chuyos leachriyo es Avoinois.
I don't see that in Mitzvah
yeah. Govru, Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet.
Govru many.
Return to Lemar. This means to say, Im ki. So you see it on page 554?
554, right?
554, Mitzvah David, Pasuk Dalet, Gavru many, return to Leimar, Imki, Ein behazuchuyois, Lihachria, Esu avoinois. We have a scale. Isn't that the way the impression we give on the Yoron HaKodesh and all the pictures? That you have a scale, you have two sides of the scale. On one side you have the Averois, and one side you have the Zuchuyois. And the Zuchuyois are trying to overcome, to press down, to give more weight than the Averois. So even though my merits, even though ein behazuchuyos lehachria, oh, it's cold.
I don't make the
early.
Yeah, it's cold.
It doesn't matter. It's fine. Don't worry about it. It's perfectly fine. Hopefully, it'll kick in. Okay, let's read it. Let's read the words. Okay, let's read. You're right. Let's read. Let's read what it says. Return to Lamar. Im ki ein behazuchuyos leachuyo esu avoinos. Im kol zet techaprem bechastucha. It's very similar. He's saying over here is that the according to the Mitzvah David, David is saying, I have merit. I do have, that he's coming to explain why the word Govru. Govru means it's prevailing over something else. Something, what else is there? You don't say the word Govru in a vacuum. Govru means this is overcoming something else. Oh, that's what the Mitzvah Stav is coming to air to say pshat in the pasuk. Because if not for the Mitzvah Stav, so you would say, what does it mean exactly? You don't know, it's nice words.
Both.
Or really, let's see. But right now, one thing at a time. Verse it says Govru. What is it being Govru upon? It's being Govru upon a person's merits. Every person, when it comes to din, it comes to mishpat, he presents his zuchuyos and his avoinos. And they're put on a scale. And which one weighs more? If the zuchuyos are heavier, then he merits chayim. If Rachmana Litzlan, the avoinos weigh more, then unfortunately it's not going to be good. It doesn't mean he's not going to get reward for the mitzvahs. It does because the person is more zuchuyos, it doesn't mean that Hashem forgives him for the averos. There's a din, the cheshbon for every single thing. But in general, going forward, are you given a new lease on life? Well, if you're generally a good person, you have more merit than sin, you are granted a new lease, but you have debts to pay for the averos. So here, David is saying, I can't even go forward one more day because the avoinois on the scale have prevailed. What have they prevailed upon? The zuchuyois. The word Gavru is telling us that there's a struggle, there's a battle here between the Zuchuyos and the Avoinos, and the Avoinos have prevailed. They're more so, and therefore I'm not in good shape. Yet, and this poetic repetition, and or just to say, it's poetic, it's another word. You will learn just simply the word Pisho'enu, it's just another word for Avoinos. And David is saying over here, therefore Hashem, I'm in a lot of trouble, I can't go forward. You got to take some of those averos off the scale so that the zuchuyos will win. Pisho'enu, with regard to my sins, which is really reflecting back on the word avoinus according to the Mitzvot David, atayu Hashem sechaperim, atone for them, which means take them off, at least some of them take off, so that my zuchuyos will weigh more and I will survive the day. That's the Mitzvot David. Let's see Rashi. Yeah. On his exalted level, he obviously there are many chatoim that David had. The most the class David and Bathsheba. I mean that was
those are big ones, but it seems here like you can say thousands of
thousands. Alright, so maybe I don't know the answer. The simple you'll say is that David HaMelech's exalted Madrega, microscopic specks of chait is what he's referring to. Hashem holds him. Hashem is not imagination. No, that's not a nice thing to say. It's not imagination.
In his mind.
No, it's not. Every single person knows what they can do better. It's a dara pashat. Hashem is medaktik in tzadikim kichut hasara. Every person knows where they're holding. Or you can say another pshat is that this is how the Radak said very very strongly. David is really representing Klali. He's not talking about himself. David is talking about Klali Yisrael through Golis. We're in Golis for almost 2,000 years. There's a big, long collection. There are numerous, unfortunately, we all know that to be, that Klali Yisrael has quite a cheshbon of averus in the last 2,000 years. And David is representing Klali Yisrael. Okay, correct. That's the basic. Okay, especially according to how the Radak learns that this is a nevuah in essence for Klal Yisrael through Golus. Okay, let's now look up Rashi. Rashi, pasuk dalet divrei avoynos gavru meni ve'ein anu yucholim lahaspik lisader kulam lefanecha lefi sheheim rav. Okay, so it's like he's saying ataras nedarim. The Uno Rabbi say, "Ki Ef Shol Lefaratam, Ki Rabim Heim." I can't go tell you all of my Nedarim. Mark, you have a lot of Nedarim. Ki Rabim Heim. Yeah, there's too numerous to enumerate. Okay, so if you hear when it says that
he starts with Divrei Avos Government. Me, I got my Amorim. Me,
David is.
And I'm coming to be the spot.
Okay. The Tzibur. Okay, so that's another Pshat. You're saying Drush. I love Drush. I'm the first guy. But let's first go Pshat. Let's go one. Okay. Rashi just glossed over that. From Rashi, you get the impression that from the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos, he always likes to say, Shoyne, B'miloy, Shoynois. The Mitzudos always says that there's a lot of poetic repetition. He always takes the Mahalach, is the words don't get so bogged down on precise definition of words. It's poetic repetition. The Mitzudos. That's the Mitzudos.
He's a king. So he's
the Hachataim Shalaam. Right, so we said that. That's another Mahalach. Right. Ayin Panim L'Torah. We got to go one step at a time. The Mitzudos. Okay, there are many Mahalachim. Absolutely. What, you have to look first, see what does it say here in what does it say in the text? You know, I'll give you an example. I was talking to someone yesterday.
If I may, it's interesting. Rashi switches.
Okay, we didn't do Rashi yet. We didn't even do the Rashi.
Okay. Rashi says, Ein Onu, it doesn't say, Ein Anu.
Okay, we'll come to it.
He's already going in your direction, that not just personally.
The whole Klal Yisrael.
Ein Onu,
but let me give you, I had a conversation with someone yesterday, and he told me the following. He told me that he has children out of town. Okay, out of town, and I don't really out of town, whatever it is, not out of town. And when he was, whatever it means, and he was looking to put his child into, testing out different yeshivas, and there was one very very modern school, very 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 like really cutting edge modern, and he went there to see the school and had a very nice conversation with the principal. The principal was from, not from Brooklyn, not from, what we're used to over here. And he asked, and they were talking, and the principal said that in this school, we have a different Mahalich. And he said it to me in Hebrew, what he said to me, I don't even remember the exact words, he says to me, we don't say here in this school to a child, what's bothering Rashi? You read a Rashi in Chumash, what's bothering Rashi? We don't say that. We say to the student in this school, what's bothering, let's say the boy's name is Yehuda. What's bothering Yehuda?
Rashi is explaining.
So in other words, and I didn't understand what that meant. So the person explained to me, what he meant to say was, in this school, it's not so important what Rashi says. We try to have the student, what do you say? What are you? You're in ninth grade, you're an adult, you're a genius. How do you understand the pshat and the pasuk? Wait. So basically the person said to me, this is Apikorsus, he said to me. And this is a very modern person. This is a very, this is a person, he's almost willing to put the kid in the school. And like he stopped. He says, no. Like basically he says, this is nonsense. A child in school first has to learn what's bothering Rashi. Shtel tzu. Before you come up with your own ideas, you're not an equal to Rashi. You're not an equal to the mitzvahs. You're not equal to the Radha. First, a child in 9th grade, in 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, you spend those years learning what your predecessors, the greatest of the great, HaGadol Ma'asher Ba'aretz, what they said. You read what is bothering Rashi. Then, when you become an adult, you'll become to morning kollel. Then, after you've already shown and proven your loyalty to the Ikarim Shebi Ikarim, the Gedolei Yisrael, then you want to say drush, you want to build a homiletic idea, kol hakavod. But ninth grade is not a time to say to a student, Rashi. We're not like Brooklyn. In Brooklyn, they say, what's bothering Rashi? Here we say, what's bothering you? No. That's not the Mesorah. That is not the Mesorah. So Rabbi Yossi, likewise, we learn over here, first let us first attempt to learn what is bothering Rashi, what is bothering the Mitzvot, and then when we finish understanding what they're trying to say, we can go off the deep end and say what we want to say, what's bothering us. For the moment, let's laser focus and see what they're saying, because more often than not, you'll be speechless, and it will only trigger even greater ideas that you will see on your own when you first have a full depth of appreciation of what the Gedolei Yisrael have to say about this pasuk. So we learn over here the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos seems what he does classically very often. The derech of the Mitzudos, 90% of the time, I can't say that number, I'm just making that up number, is don't dwell upon synonyms. Don't, Malbum is mamish mikotze lakotze. Every single word is a different nuance, a different world, different interpretation. If there's a word avon and there's a word pesha, you're discussing two different things, two different worlds. This means this, this means that. The Mitzudis David very rarely does that. He always says, I forgot the expression, it's this expression, that is kofal amilois, poetic, I always say poetic repetition. It's just, don't dwell upon the different nuances of the word. It's the same word. It's an expression. It's poetry. Just learn it. I imponim the Torah very simply. And that's why we translate over here. The word avoin and the word pesha is one idea. And David is saying, and he says the word gavru. Everyone here has to address the concept of gavru. It is prevailing. Prevailing always means over something else. According to the Mitzudos, there's competition here between sins and merits. There is a scale. There's a scale. There are zuchuyos. There are averos. The averos, it does all the same. And ova and the pesh, all the same. Just poetic repetition. And David over here is saying is, I am in trouble because I have more sins than merits. And the scale is being pushed down. And therefore, I'm in a lot of trouble. Hashem, do me a favor. Take some of those sins off the scale so that I'll be able to survive. That's it. Very simple. I am Palamu Torah. Now we come to Rashi.
Rashi has two questions on the words. On the words.
Yeah.
Not about the idea. Divrei.
Okay.
Oh,
very good. So, Rav Kalman is so one thing the Mitzudos did not address. Excellent. Excellent. We're going to Rashi. The Mitzudos did not address the word divrei. He omitted that. The Mitzudos, he glossed over Avay and Pesh. That's all the same. He said Gavru, he explained very well. He said a very powerful pshat in Gavru. But he did not explain the word divrei. Divrei, what's divrei? What's divrei? What's divrei doing here? Just to say, avoinois, gavru, many. What's the word divrei? So Rashi is coming to address the word divrei, and Rashi disagrees with the approach of the Mitzudos that the word gavru is not referring to zuchuyos. It's referring to my abilities. My ability to actually, I'm limited, it's my human limitation. It's now time to do teshuvah, and you have to enumerate all of the sins. I'm going to enumerate all the sins, I'm going to a telephone book, and start reading the whole telephone book. I can't do that. I can't go bring in a telephone book of all of my averos and enumerate. I'm a limited person. I get tired. I can't do this the whole day. I'll collapse. If I will go, I will enumerate. So the word gavru means it overwhelms my human limitation. What is that? Divrei. Divrei here means to confess. To confess and to enumerate. We say al-chayt shechotem l'vanecha, all the al-chayts, we say it on Yom Kippur 10 times. 10 times we do say ashamnu boganu, we say ashamnu 10 times. Erev Yom Kippur, and all the way through Ne'ilah, you count the number of times that we say we do this 10 times. That's our limit. Really, we should go bring in the telephone book and say it 100 times and enumerate every single Avera. It's too much. We're limited human beings. Our ability to confess, enumerate our sins is more than what we can handle. That's why it says divrei, words of confession, of avonois, gavaru, it's, I can't do it. It's too hard. So Hashem, you know what? You know, you take care, you forgive, have a nice day. Zehu. Rashi says, "V'ein onu yucholim lehaspik." Lehaspik is to be. How would you translate lehaspik? To be mechoyav, a good translation. To be satisfied. To be efficient. To I don't know. How do you translate the word lehaspik in this context? You have the Judaica. You have the Judaica. The Rashi. The Judaica translates Rashi. It's every word of Rashi.
Sufficiently
to be sufficient lahaspik to, I don't have a good word. if you can't translate it, means you don't know it.
Arrange,
that's lasader. Manage lahaspik is manage. Okay, start from the beginning of the sentence. We can't manage, he says. We cannot manage.
Yeah.
So the Judaica press, all honor to them, translates the word lahaspik as manage. Okay? You satisfied with that? Not really, but it's good enough. You're not satisfied, neither am I. But it's good. Obviously they struggled. The person who wrote the translation in the Judaica press was a very great Talmud Chacham. Very great.
It means we're not sufficiently capable.
Oh, that's good. That's already better. Better, better, right?
In Nishmat, we had the same thing. Maspikim.
So how do you same word, right? Ein maspikim.
We're not sufficiently
capable. Sufficiently, Rav Mordechai is saying a translation. Sufficiently capable. Judaica press says manage. We can't manage. I like Rav Mordechai says much better. Okay, they have, you know, I read one of the best articles I ever read about art scroll. This goes back many, many years ago, how they would sit down in teams and struggle groups how to translate certain words in the Gemara. You know, you can kill it, like you're talking about L'chol Dumi, you can kill the Gemara by giving a sloppy translation. And there are certain words, how do you really translate it? Do you really need a book a book to translate certain concepts. How do you translate the word, one of the hard, like Erison. How do you translate the word Erison? Betrothed? Betrothed? That does not do justice. It is not accurate for many reasons. They still do, because they don't have another word. They cannot find another expression that would do justice, so they settled on that for whatever reason. Okay, I told you, I have my pet peeves. They translate Harei Mikdash Kedas Moshe of Yisrael. They translate the word Kedas in the article, the rituals. The word Das, Dalit Sof, no Ayin, Das. So it means, I thought it means law, the law. No, for some reason in the article Siddur, I don't know why, they translated the rituals. I don't know, it bothers me, that word. Not that it makes a difference. Rituals? It's not a ritual. It's a law. It's halacha. Das is law. So why do they translate it as ritual? They must have a reason. I'm not second-guessing them. There's a tremendous chokhmah in translating something. What? How do you translate a ritual? Exactly. How do you translate that? You know, there's a lot to be said about language, and the emphasis is if you can't translate something into another language, it means you don't know what it means. You don't know what it means. If you lack the ability to explain something in words that are satisfactory for someone else to understand, the chesaron is not in the language, it's in you. You do not really have a grasp of what you're saying. So we say, ain anu maspikim. What does it mean? Ain anu maspikim. Translate the word. Go around the room and have everyone write down the translation. No cheating. No cheating. Opening up Siddurim. Everyone, you say it every Shabbos. Okay? Ain anu maspikim lehoidos lehala. Translate that word. How would you? And if you can't really translate it with flavor and you don't know what you're saying. You don't know what you're saying. So over here is very good. The word over here, hard word to translate. Of ain, the ain anu yecholim lehaspik to sufficiently. Or what would you say, Mordechai? To sufficiently.
Capable.
You're not sufficiently capable. Lesader to arrange, to enumerate. Kulam, all of our sins. Lifonecha lifi shehem rav. They are too numerous. So the gavru means it has overcome our human limitation. That's gavru. And divrei means to express, to confess. Ela bichlal echad anu mispalim. Ela bichlal echad anu mispalim. Bichlal echad, one klal, one klal. All of our sins are incorporated of the word Ovan and Pesha.
One word.
Just one word. Ela bichlol echod onu mispalu lefonecha shepishoenu atas sechaprein pesha. We're just going to go give one. This is a beautiful interpretation of Rashi, which has nothing in common with what it says in the Mitzvah Tzadit. Okay, completely different approaches. Let's see about that. Rashi is very diverse. That was Rashi's. It was a trendsetter. Rashi, until the time of Rashi, this is what I remember when hearing Shiram on this. Until the time of Rashi, the Mefarshim, the Parshanim, were thoroughly consistent in how they translated, how they elucidated the subject they were discussing. I'll give you an example. There was once a Rebbe. This is a Rebbe Shemaisa. True or not? Probably not, but who knows? The Rebbe Shemaisa. A person comes to a great Rebbe who's a genius and he presents his sefer for haskama on the sefer. So the Rebbe opens up and he reads the first vort that he wrote on Bereishis Bara Elokim on the first pasuk. So the Rebbe says, it's very nice. So Mestaver, if this is what you said on the first pasuk Bereishis, on the second pasuk, I'm assuming this is what you said. And on the third pasuk, this is what you said. And the fourth pasuk, I see your trend of thought. I see your approach. And now I can predict what you're going to say throughout the entire Tanakh. It's very healthy. It's very healthy. There's a consistency. Look in music. Yerachmiel Begon. Okay, very, very famous person. Very, extremely talented. But many of his songs have a... Like you can right away tell in a second, this is from Yerachmiel Begon. Kalbach. Not to the same degree. Kalbach also. There's a certain pattern. This is a typical Kalbach Nigun. This is a Nigun. Yerachmiel Begon is a genius, a music genius. You know, there's a certain similarity. Even the classics, you know, I'm sure Beethoven and all these other classics, there's a certain consistency in how they're that goes through the entire Mahalach. Rashi broke the mold. Rashi was thoroughly inconsistent. Consistently inconsistent. This was a tremendous chiddush of Rashi. And Rashi saw that if you're going to learn, if you're going to go with the approach, everything in the pasuk has to be touched literally, you're going to come into some dead ends. And if you take the mahalach of other mafresh, everything is a mashal. Everything in the Torah is a mashal. Lifnei iver lo sitein mirshal. If you take a stone and you put it on the street in front of a blind man, are you over on the leis say of lifnei iver lo sitein mirshal? According to some Hashem, you're not. You're not. But it says in the pasuk, lifnei iver lo sitein mirshal. So some of the Mefarshim until Rashi, everything is the same mahalach. Everything has to be, it's a mashal. Everything has to be taken literally. Everything has to be from a drasha. Rashi says you're going to take one mahalach and chumash, you're going to run into a dead end somewhere, and you're finished. It's not going to work. You have to understand that Torah is multi-dimensional. And when you learn Chumash, Rashi's perish on Chumash, as you said, it's consistently inconsistent. One pasuk, it's all a mashal. One pasuk, it's taken very literal. One pasuk, it's a drush. You know, the whole pasuk is totally extra. There's no purpose in this pasuk altogether. The only reason the pasuk put it was to go and to make a drush, to be over on two lois assays. Rashi gives you a smorgasbord. A smorgasbord of all of the other, his predecessors, who were consistently consistent. And Rashi did not like that. He found that to be very problematic because it doesn't always work. It doesn't appeal to the, it doesn't always work. He had a parish which took different approaches, and that's not a contradiction. That is the godless of Torah, that the Torah has elements of everything in it. This is a very, we take it for granted today. Because Baruch Hashem, we learn Rashi for generations. But in the time of Rashi, this was novel. What Rashi did was totally novel. And Rashi thoroughly tested his approach. You know, the whole history of how Rashi wrote Chumash, Rashi, Rashi, it's an incredible, how I can say, there were three, no, the Chumash, how many, the Gemara, there were three editions on the Talmud. Not everything was polished the same degree. Chumash, I don't remember this. A lot of different stories, a lot of legends, true, not true, no one really knows. But this is very important. So over here, of Kalman, we'll say Rashi over here, he, every Rashi is a world to itself. I'll just give one among the Achroinim. So Rabbi Schmidman over here around the corner, he told this to me. He says, among the Achroinim, if you look at the major Achroinim, there's also a very strong degree of consistency, except for one. There's one of the big Achroinim on the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer was so great, each vart that he says in Toras Moshe and is a different mahalach. In the writings of the Chassam Sofer on his homiletics, there's no consistency. Each vart that he has does not fit into a mold that you can predict, oh, this is what he said based upon that. Incredibly unique mind. The Chassam Sofer was beyond everyone else. They were all these different Moishas. They go from one generation to the next. He was beyond his koyach in Torah, and it's acknowledged by those who study his works, who are into these things, that he in the modern world was like Rashi in the old world, where there's no consistency. His mind is so great, there's diversity in how he analyzes ideas that are unpredictable from one to the next. All right, that's a side point over here, because over here we brought out that point comparing Rashi over here to the Mitzvahs. Let's see now the Radak. The Radak, Pasuk, Pasuk, Dalit.
By the way, why, I'm asking now the question, why didn't he enumerate those abundance? I'm talking about David.
He says he can't, too many to enumerate, he says. He says, like, ain't honor Yechol Lahaspek.
Not that many.
Really,
not that many.
Because
he's saying that.
Shame Rav, there are too many.
He felt guilty, not only for himself, because he had quite a few things that...
Everyone has skeletons in the closet.
And not only this, and Am Yisrael also has the same type of problem. And he doesn't want to enumerate, because he doesn't want the Satan to do that. So he said, there are too many. Ata, you know what we did. Atat Chaper, I'll give you the cloud, Atat Chaper.
Correct. That's what he's saying. It's too numerous.
On purpose, he didn't want to do that.
Well, he's saying Parshim Shad, it's too much. He's saying, read the words. L'sadek uvnech l'fi sheheim rav. Gavru means the human limitation. I can't sit in shul the whole day and read the telephone book. Okay, we say this during Hataras Nedarim. Ach, do not abayis, like, ki e'ef shor l'fortom, ki rabim heim. I gotta go home. I need some honey cake.
Is that these are some major sins that I don't want to even repeat it and say it over. You know what they are.
You want to say Shehem Rav means that it's not the quantity, it's the quality. You want to say Drush and Rashi, it's not the quantity, it's the quality. I hear Rav Chaim, what you're trying to say,
especially when he spoke Avodot Yisrael, Am Yisrael, not on himself, maybe he did it quietly, but Am Yisrael, he doesn't want to be. Am Yisrael is that kosher.
Okay.
I know, and you know.
You, of course, we always say that, but that's absolutely. Let's listen to Radak over here, Pasik, Dal, the Ravenous, Gavru, many. Lashon Yachid, many is not mimenu. Mimenu from they, or it's mimenu from me. Everything over here, someone pointed this out before, everything over here is Lashon Yachid. Pesho'enu atos sechaparim, Lashon Rabim, ki al b'nei ha-golus yidaber Lashon Rabim. Okay, so over here, you see, over here, according to the Radak, there's a fundamental difference between the word avoin and pesha. Avoin is for the Yachid, and pesha is for the tzibur. And Dov over here is saying is, I got problems, and they got problems. We all got problems. The Yochid and the Rabbim. Okay, Nusach Achidah B'chlal L'Prat, Oymar Divrei Avodas, Shagavu Mimenu. Over here he puts Mimenu, Uvishoenu Kimochein, Atos Sechabim Kihem Herichu Oysanu Bagolus. The sins, how put us now here, over here, it's something very powerful. Umischananim Onu Elecha Shetachaprim Ato, Kein Zulo Secha, Kimosha Oymar, Ki Imcha Haslicha Lefonecha Omar Oto. Oh no, I thought he was saying something else. Probably someone else on this page says this. And what he's saying is like this. They tell us the children, but it's good for adults also. Every time you do an Avera, you create a Malach. Every time you do a Mitzvah, you create a Malach. And the Malachim that you create through Mitzvahs and Averas, they talk. They go before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they argue. So we're giving the Avoin here life. Divrei Avoinois, David says, I have done sins. Every sin that I have done has created a living creature, a Malach. And that Malach has a mouth like you can't imagine. Doesn't stop talking. And this Malach goes before Hashem and Divrei. Every time in Shemayim they want to decree upon me blessing. Oh, let's give this person a bracha. He's a good guy. He did a mitzvah today. So you know what happens? The averos that I have done speak up. Rabbeinu Shlomo, you want to give this guy a blessing, a bonus? A bonus? Do you know what he did? He did this, he did this, he did this, he did this. Every time you're looking to get a second chance, the malachim, the divrei, the sins, they speak. They speak. They relate what the person did. Okay, we're giving over here this Gemara, Chassid Shavat. They tell this to children. They tell them, you do a Navera, you create a Mekatreg. You create a prosecutor. In heaven, the prosecutor presents its case. You do a mitzvah, you create an advocate, and it's they speak. That's the Gavru. Okay, now, let's take a look over here at one, let's just say, before we go further, let's look at the Malbim. The Malbim Pasuk Dalid. Okay, as what I just told you, I think is the Malbim. I jumped to, a little bit to the Malbim. Malbim Pasuk Dalid, Divrei hu nusach hatfila, shehis balalu amru. This is, so he's saying a new idea. The Divrei, let's see, is the nusach hatfila shehis balalu amru. Hagam shanu choytim ubilti ruuyim heim ruuyim. We're not fit. Hein hu avoynes asher gavru many. Divreiem hu. Shepeshoenu atosicham. He's saying a little different twist. Now what I told you. Mitzayer, he's describing ki ilu avoynes asher heim gavru v'chosku min adam v'adam en yochol l'skaber aleyem heim atzmam. Yidabru v'yamlitzu lefnei Hashem sheyichaper hapeshon v'yamlitzu sh'achar sh'koyach avoynes chozog yoyser mikoyach adam ritzan alem ash'adam b'tivoy muchan alachet v'koshaloy l'skaber alohoyn hanotua b'tivoy. So it's part of the person's DNA. Imkein hu avoynes ba'atzma mehe acha shem gavru meni b'teva divreyem hu sh'roy sh'techaper p'sho'enu. He's saying something very, very deep. It's so deep. I think he's saying something different. Let's see. The Avoin has life. That's number one. The first he said is that the sin itself comes to life and the sin speaks. But he's saying a shocking chiddush. He's saying is that the sin says, Ribbono Shel Olam, this guy sinned. But you know something? What do you want from him? What do you want from him? He's only a human being. And the Yetzer Hara is so powerful. What do you expect? Forgive him. Isn't that a shocking thing to say? You go, can you imagine the court today? A person is a victim of a crime. Okay? A person is robbed. And he's hurt. He's injured. And they take the criminal, they bring him to the judge, and the judge says, okay, you committed a crime, and the guy, I plead guilty. I plead guilty. And the victim is there, and he says, Your Honor, forgive him. Forgive him. What do you want from him? He had no education. He grew up without any parents. He's poor. What do you want from him? So he hit me. He robbed me. He terrorized me. Forgive him. Forgive him. I'm the victim, forgive him for what he did to me. What do you expect from him? No, there are stories like this, knowing where this happens, husband and wife. It's not so uncommon. I remember once seeing a whole show about this, on that box, you know, that glass box. They don't make them anymore, those boxes. Now they're flat. And they cut in your pocket. I remember as a kid, there was a story where a wife, it's a real wife, tried to kill her husband. She mamish tried to poison her husband with who knows, some real, really wanted to kill her husband. And she told her friend that she's going to kill her husband. And she went and she carried out the entire plan. And because the friend went, she told the police. They didn't believe her. They followed her, and they instead of her putting poison, the police switched the poison for something that wasn't lethal. But if she really would have, if she would have gone through, it was clear as day, she really was going to kill her husband. So they arrested her. And the police, the state, they put her on trial for murder, attempted murder. And the husband said to the judge, I forgive her. I forgive her. She's my wife. She is the mother of my children. We fight. We fight like every couple. Do you fight with your wife? Didn't you try to kill your wife? So he said he's mamish, and I remember seeing this. It's like many when I was a child, I saw this on the television, and they were stunned, and they mamish did not know what to do. The court did not know what to do. Here you have attempted murder, it's black and white. Black and white. And the victim, or the one who would have been the victim, says, I'm Meichel her. Let's go home. He said, let's go home. It's over. Good. You arrested her. I forgive her. I'm going to be careful now what I eat. Whatever I eat, I'll go, she'll be my taster. There's a Rebbe in Yeshiva, he deals with kids on the edge. Okay? Really, real the kids. And he knows that he's very good with them. He knows how to deal with them. And part of his technique in dealing with them, he plays their game. Like, he tells the kid, go get me a cup of coffee. So the kid brings the cup of coffee, and the Rebbe says, first you taste it. I'm not drinking anything until you taste it first. I want to make sure it's not poisoned. The Keseder, the whole school is like this. And it works. He wins over. He wins their hearts, and he wins these kids over.
The kids spit into the coffee. He'll drink it. Right.
All right. Maybe, whatever. You understand the idea. So what do you do in that case? So what do you do? So I remember the court was stunned. And the end was, the court decided, we don't care. She is a dangerous person. If she was willing to kill you, she'll kill someone else. She has to go to jail. And the husband, mamish, fought. He mamish fought with Mesiras Nefesh that she should be innocent. The end was, they put her in jail. I remember this whole... They put her in jail. He used to come visit her every single day. The state says, you're not a balabas over attempted murder, even though you would have been the victim. So maybe you can say, oh, I'm the victim, so I'm Michael, so you can't charge. No, it was a big thing. It was a big thing. The state ended up, no, she's committed a crime, she goes to jail, and she ended up in jail. Here, it's exactly the same thing, the mitzvah is the same. A person did an avera. You do an avera, you create a prosecuting angel, and the prosecuting angel comes to Shemayim, and the prosecuting angel says, what do you want from the guy? What do you want from him? Be Michael him. Be Michael him, because he's only a human being, and he has a Yetzirah. It was more than he could handle. So be Michael him. That Divrei, that's how we learned Pshat in the Pasuk, the Malbim. You have a Pshat like this, is bizarre. Divrei Avoinois, Gavru, many, Pishoenu, and that's why you should forgive him. The words of the prosecutor are, you have to address, everyone over here on this page is struggling to address the word divrei and the word gavru. And then the repetition of avoinois and pishoenu. And it's saying over here that the prosecutor says, what do you want? What do you want? We were too powerful. The avoinois, the koyach of avoin, was too powerful for this person to handle. And that is why you have to forgive him. It's not his fault. You can't blame someone. It's a nisoyon that he was not able to handle. We like to say all the time, Hashem only gives you a nisoyon that you can handle. You look at other people, they have nisoyonis. They can handle it. Hashem does not give you a nisoyon that you cannot handle. The Malbim was saying is a pshat that disagrees with that. Read the words in court one more time to show that I'm not making this up. The words over here are divrei hu nusach hatfila shespalu. This is what we say to Hashem. Omru, they say, Hagam she'anu choitim u'bilti ru'uim. Even though we have sinned and we're not fitting yet, hain yet, hu avoinois asher gavru many, the sins that have prevailed upon us. Divrei hemu. So see what he's doing over here? He's taking the word divrei, he's taking a sharp razor, slicing it out of the beginning of the pasuk, and inserting it after the word many, before the word pishoenu. He's rearranging the words in this pasuk. The avoinois gavru many, the sins that have prevailed upon me, divreihem, those sins have come to life and they are speaking. That's why you have to forgive the person. The sins that are more mighty and powerful than man, Hem atzmom yidabru v'yam litzu lifnei Hashem. The sin itself is coming to beg Hashem for rachmanis for the perpetrator. Sheyechaper hapeshoim v'yam litzu. The message, the meaning of this statement is sha'achar shekoyach ha'avoynes chazak yoyser mikoyach ha'adam ritzayin elayim ha'adam b'tivoy. Person is a weakling. A person's nature is weak. It's inevitable that he's going to be nichshol muchun elachet v'kosh l'skaber ha'avoy nanotu b'tivoy. Person's ki yetzer leiv ha'adam ra minu urav v'yim kein ha'avoynes be'atzmam achar shehem gavru many b'teva. After they prevailed upon me easily, was no big deal. Divrayim, who their words are, sherohui shetischaper peshoenu, they themselves say to Hashem, forgive the person. Ki ato yodadaka, you know, es yetzer ha'odam v'royativo, you know a person is weak, he doesn't stand a chance. This is unbelievable what it says over here. This is not the way the world works. I thought he would say something much simpler. We know that when a person does teshuvah, zidoinois nase kishkoigas. If you do teshuvah miyira, but if you do teshuva me ahava, then zedoinois nase kizuchuyos. So then you would say that the zedoinois, the avoinois, the gavru many, after we have done teshuva, the zedoinois come and they say to Hashem, forgive him, he did teshuva. We have been created because this man has sinned, but we also know that he has done teshuva me ahava, so now it should be a zuchus for him. The avera should now serve as an advocate that the person should be forgiven. And that's what I would say. You know, that's the same idea as the Malbim. So we discussed that. There are two different opinions. So in this case so far, either we learned that the avon is for the yochid and the Pesha represents the Tzibur, or everyone else did not address it. It's just poetic repetition. No one has addressed that in the context of this particular pasuk. All right, that's the Malam. So we did pretty much everything we need to do on this page. Okay, so tomorrow, Mir Tashem, we're going to go to the next pasuk, hey. Okay.
By the way, that kid who put down in his Rebbe's cup, he was a kid who was supposed to make the real thing. The Rebbe said, oh, he's going all out. He put the rhythm in the Rebbe's cup.